We're gonna touch upon a few subjects right now. God seriously wants me to get this out to you, so you may understand. First of all, I'm gonna share with you for this brief hour a little bit of my daily life, daily order. So, it's important for you to start being serious with life and know these things. So, what I mean is things like, what are you doing in your life? Are you doing what you feel like or what you should be doing? An improvement in the quality of your life is an improvement in the quality of yourself, first of all. And most people don't make that correlation between the outside world and the inside world within you. And most people don't see that if you're getting the same results, you must be doing something wrong. And what needs to change first is your inner self in order for the outer reality to change. I mean, it sounds obvious when I put it like that, but do most people actually follow these guidelines or not? So, a lack of love is a place that hatred fills up. So if you want to be a more loving person, you shouldn't do what you feel like if you don't feel enough love and you act as if that kind of person. If you want an improvement in the quality of your life, you should act like a person who already has an improved life. And if you had an improved life, you would have more love to give to other people from within inside you. When was the last time you said to a person that you like him or her? I'm not talking about telling a person, "I really love you." But at least, when did you say to a person, "You know, I really like you. I like you as a person. I respect you. I think you're a good person." Those kind of words of encouragement, you know, we don't have a lot of tools in this world to become spiritually enlightened and elevated. And even the tools we have, most of the people don't use. And those that use, don't use that often. And those that use it even often, they don't do it to the fullest. So that's the inner structure of humanity, and the outer structure resembles it, right? Most people are poor, most people are suffering. Most people are not happy with their life. So the inner world and the outer world are a mirror image, a reflection of each other. The roots and the branches, like the Kabbalah says. So, from an elevated state, you will act like a person who has much more love than how you act now. So, first of all, you need to change your inner state and act like a much more loving person, much more happier person. You know, again, most of the people know this statement, but most of the people don't do it. When I say that people think that rich people are happy because they're rich, they don't understand that that rich people are rich because they're happy. So you need to be more happier, more loving, in a better inner state of enlightenment in order to change your outer world, the reality around you. And again, because I said that most of the people theoretically know or have come to realize or thought about they should be doing something like that, something along those lines, but most of the people don't. It means you need this information and you need to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and act on it until you achieve successful results. And by the time you achieve all the successful results you want in your life, you would change to be that person naturally. It would become your second nature. And that's the reason why God put us in this situation, in order for us to realize what I just said. And the outer world rewards would come as a result of your inner world becoming more godlike. Because reality perception is subjective. It's based on the subject, and every subject interprets and perceives reality differently. So, between bad and good, there's a clear distinction of what the good side is and how you should act accordingly. But a human being is a forgetful creature, is an emotional creature, and most of our emotions are not right, and we shouldn't act on our emotions. Because most of these emotions are destructive. We should act like we're supposed to be doing, what we should be doing, what we should be thinking, how we should be living our lives. Based on the ISWL Daily Order Principles. So, within these principles, there are some key components, features, attributes that every person should be doing. So, for your spiritual life, for your soul, you need to pray every day on a daily basis. You need to incorporate prayer in your life, because that's the strongest human power. If you talk about the strongest influential power of the human being, after all the arguments are settled, you'd come to realize it is the power of prayer. As Judaism said all along. Now, regarding that subject, God basically put my life in such an order in which I would be forced to understand, and designed it so that I will give you this message first of all, taking consideration that Jesus was Jewish, and he said that he did not come to cancel the Torah but to fulfill it, and he had fulfilled it. Not only the prophecies about the Messiah, him as a human being, before the revelations, before the miracles,
From his youth at least, he fulfilled the commandments of the Torah and led a Jewish life like any rabbi, only better. So, when Jesus is coming back, and he, keep in mind, he gave authority to the righteousness of the Torah. He would want all people to know Hebrew, know the Torah, know the secrets of Kabbalah, and don't listen to anybody else who tells you otherwise. Now, in terms of simple things, in the ISWL Daily Order, before we get to that, you have to be a human being. So, what is the obstacle that's bothering people from praying on a daily basis to God? Because keep in mind, Jesus said, ask and you will receive. If you did not ask, how can you receive? Did you ask of God? Do you ask of God? Or do you go out and get it, whatever it is you want? Or do you ask of God? Do you keep God in your life when you go outside your home, when you're inside your home? Are you telling God, Lord, I love you so much. Thank you for this beautiful day. Blessed be your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Father of my soul. I'm so thankful that you are participating in my life. And I know that the most powerful power human beings have is the power to express their intention through prayer, good thoughts, and this is what I want to do, because the power of words influences reality is already scientifically proven, not only recommended for the last thousands of years by all the major religions, it's already scientifically proven that the power of words, we do not know even the end of its effects. But we know that they are great. Power of blessings, power of positive thoughts, positive energy is created from that, positive words. And what would be new to most people to know is what the Kabbalistic secret of letters has been saying all along, which is why the prayers in Judaism are built based on the secret of letters. And it says that the Torah was written before time, and it is a guide and a manual encoded, and every letter is a symbol to an energetic power, and all these powers were combined in such a way that they brought about history in the making. And that history in the making is not only the old history of the nation of Israel, it's also the history of each and every soul. So each and every soul goes through enslavement to Exodus from Egypt, Exodus from enslavement into mental freedom, financial freedom, emotional freedom, the freedom for your soul, the freedom for your life. And what is depicted in the history of the nation of Israel, it's a metaphor, a symbol for what happens to every soul in the processes of becoming a free soul, a free human being. So, there are even deeper levels to the secret of letters, to the Torah, to the secret of the Hebrew language, and Kabbalah, which based upon all the spiritual realities, the physical dimension, the least of which, the smallest of which, have been built based upon the 10 counts, the 10 spirot, the 10 energetic powers, with the 22 letters, so the letters from the Hebrew Bible or the Hebrew Siddur, which is the prayer book, are not only letters on a paper in a particular language. The Hebrew language is an encoded message from God Himself. I'm not talking about the Jewish God or the God of this particular religion. I'm talking about the God of the universe and more. The God of infinity, the God of all existence in the physical dimension and beyond. Like it is said, He is the place of the world, and the world is not His place. Meaning, the physical universe is inside God, and beyond it, there was and always will be only God. That's the creature who always existed. That's the living entity before creation, after and always beyond the dimension of time. So the huge physical universe is dwarfed in comparison to the infinity of God. And that's why it says also that these systems of tens within tens go and stretch all the way to infinity. And God, who gives the energy to the atoms to spin, who gives the energy to the physical dimension to exist, because that is God's will. And if it won't be His will, it wouldn't exist. That God can create an infinity because He is not limited by the measurements of time and space, which is a human illusion that we perceive for our own protection. But beyond it, we can't even grasp the concept of infinity, what it's like to live in a reality without an end. So even heaven is based upon human likeness, the correct character of the soul that God wants us to be. It's based on its desires, most of which are just giving praise, glory, and honor to God forever. So it's a human kind of heaven. But it was also created by God. Heaven is not really the reality that was always. God is the reality that was always. And He created a reality based upon human needs for us in this world and after this world experience. So, if you take into consideration that most people in the world hate Jews, hate Jewish people. Most people in the world hate the Jewish language and the Jewish religion. And all of these are messengers from God. It implies that most human beings would hate God, would hate Jesus if they met him. Because God chose to represent himself through this nation. And this nation is diverse. I mean, I'm Russian, but I'm half Jewish. Somehow, some way. Go figure it out how that happened. So, you got all kinds of people, even Hindus who are Jewish. Of course, you can become Jewish, then you will get a Jewish addition to your soul by performing the Giyur, which is very difficult tasks and inspections that last a long time until you can receive the authority, receive the confirmation by the Jewish authorities that would say, okay, this person is a real believing religious Jew. Of course, I wasn't born into those circumstances and I didn't grow up like that. I came to realize that at a much later time, and I'm trying to do my best to fulfill it as well. But God designed me in such a way that I would be compatible, and the information I have to offer would be compatible to all kinds of nations, because it comes from the spiritual enlightenment, from the same source of Jesus Christ. Okay, so consider that Moses brought about the rules of civilization to the ancient beast-like world that came from God in order for people to become civilized. And even now, thousands of years afterwards, people are still not civilized enough to stop crime. But basically, if you would have listened to the Ten Commandments for the last 3,000 years that came from the Jewish people, there would be no crime in the world. So he had only good intentions that people didn't fulfill. The second, clear, distinct appearance of a messiahical vessel was the body of this person called Yeshua, who received the first God's only begotten Son, the first soul ever created that stood together with God at the creation of the world, at the creation of the universe, at the creation of heaven. This is God's right hand. And that soul, of course, is even more important than Moses. It's the most important soul to all human beings. But in terms of time, he came later to an already Jewish circumstance, so that all people can learn from him how to observe the Torah, some clear distinctions when not to observe, or how to put more of your attention on Jesus himself, which is more important than the Torah. But the Torah still is important. So for those that want a relationship with God, not only an improvement to your physical life, but an eternal relationship with God, you are very different from other kinds of people that would come to that at a later time.
hopefully before the fulfillment of the book of Revelation, or some fulfillment of it. So what God wants is for all people to embrace this smallest nation on earth, this unknown religion and language, and to learn it so that you can become a part of God. And I'll tell you why. Human egoism would think that if God Himself wants me to do that, God Himself would reveal in all its magnificence and with a great army and castles of gold, and will tell me, this is my desire, my son. But that's false, egoistic perception. God is smarter than that. What God does is, He doesn't have to reveal His kingdom so that everybody would bow down and conform like a human king. What God does is puts it at the least, so that you would conform, so that you would bow down in your own free will. God doesn't have to show you all His powers, and He doesn't want to. In that case, from the awesomeness of His powers, you would just be afraid and conform like a robot. He wants it to be your free choice, your free action, so that He can make a clear distinction between the different types of souls. The souls who have more affiliation and love for this matter, and the souls who less. And even for those type of people, was given my method. So you wouldn't have to go into these depths and would still accomplish some spiritual enlightenment. So God is caring for people in that sense. And my method opens the door to Judaism, to the true Christianity, how it should be done, to the true religion on earth. To the truly effective prayers in the language the world was written with before time, in the history of creation. And if even you can scientifically compare the four or five main religions on earth, I'm not talking about numbers of people, we're talking about truth. Scientifically compare which religion gives you infinite depths of wisdom and knowledge. Human beings have only begun to comprehend a little bit of which. And it can prove you that it's infinite depths of wisdom that are scientifically proven to be supernatural and impossible in any human way to create. If you take the Kabbalah of Baal HaSulam, which received an enlightenment from Moses' soul through the years, and wrote the last state of Kabbalah scientifically, and you take the secret of Hebrew letters and the Bible code, these are two subjects that can be scientifically explored forever, and it will be forever, and that's the will of God. even in heaven. Or you can think much stronger and beyond the limits of these limits of time and space. It is still studied forever and ever. Because God created it in such a way that its depths are infinite. For people to have something to occupy in the revelation and knowledge of God, by God's wisdom. And until all these nations would think themselves better than that, stronger than that, smarter than that, you would never be one with God. That's the reason why God orchestrated history in such a way so you would have free will and free choice to either join or not join and experience life that way. Let me give you an example. It is known that the angels of God, all they do is worship and pray. There are some angels assigned only to worship and pray, and praise, and prayer. In which language do you think they do that? I just told you in which language. In the holy Hebrew biblical language. Their names are also Hebrew names. Or all their ranks and names have been numbered as well in the Kabbalistic books. The entire details, well, not the entire, but the general, most of the general details about the spiritual world have been decrypted and revealed and told in the Kabbalistic books as well. And the secrets of letters. And again, if you are searching for truth, and you have a scientifically or mathematically oriented mind, and you want some infinite wisdom that you can test your strength upon, the strength of your mind, try decrypting the Bible code in gematria, numerical values. Try studying Kabbalah in Hebrew. As Rav Michael Lightman gave us through that Baal HaSulam, who's the strongest Kabbalist in the history of humanity, that's if you really objective, just searching for truth, have a clear mind, and want confirmation of infinite wisdom, which would be a confirmation that that infinite wisdom was truly given by God. Okay? Of course, most of the people are not logical. Most of the people don't care really too much about that kind of truth. And most of the people don't say, okay, if I see truth, I'm gonna follow it all the way, you know, but that would be a logical and truthful way of life and thing to do. So that will require a change for most people to be that much objective, to be willing to do whatever reveals itself as truth, which cannot be questioned, or I mean, after it has been questioned and examined and expected. And revealed that it is without any questions left, totally scientifically proven, you would have to study the Hebrew language. Just like studying a language, why study other languages? Study Hebrew. And then try to figure out if there is any truth to what I'm saying. and what these rabbis and Kabbalists have been saying for thousands of years. And you will reveal, this is the truth. It's just that God is not narrowed and limited to human brains and perceptions and desires. You are. That's why your desires are so small, and you're living your life talking your kinds of languages in whatever way you want. But I'm talking about an elevated evolutionary state of humanity in which they would be tired of the simple small pleasures of life and would want more of God's truth. Then they would reveal that it was all along hidden in Judaism and Kabbalah and Christianity combined. And the Bible clearly says so, that one day when all of the nations will stop learning war, they would help the Jewish nation build the third and final temple in Jerusalem, because of which Jesus will come to sit as the ruler and righteous king of planet Earth. And it says that all the nations will come and help Israel build it. And our house of prayer, which is another name for Beit HaMikdash, this temple, will be the prayer temple for all the nations. And all the nations will come to it. This prophecy will be fulfilled one way or the other, sooner or later, for sure, because that's the purpose of creation. It's just that all these human nations and their different languages and different desires don't have much of a desire for these type of things. So at least listen to these truths I'm giving you, to these truthful statements, so you would get a little bit more and more levels of enlightenment to fulfill your life with at least some spiritual truth. So when you, or some of you, I don't know in which time that will happen, how many years will pass until you'll hear this recording and do it, but at that point in time, you will come to realize what I just said is truth. And when you want to say to God, you tell me what the truth is, I'll do it, because I trust you, God, that you are the real God, and everything you want me to do is in my favor, and therefore I will do everything you want me to do without question, because I know that it is in my favor, and what in my favor, and what I said would be revealed as the truth. You would go out and start learning Hebrew, learning the Torah, learning Kabbalah, learning the secret of letters, and praying in this formula that the Jewish nation, through thousands of years of persecution, countless lives have been sacrificed to maintain this infinitely wise religion, Because those with a brain knew that that is the truth. And I mean a spiritual brain. Everybody has a brain, some of which is smarter, but a spiritually enlightened brain would realize the infinite depths of this religion and science, of the spiritual world that no scientific instrument besides the Kabbalists can get to beyond the physical dimension. And that is the only way how to do it, by becoming, through these teachings, spiritually enlightened yourself. So, just consider these facts in whatever time you would want to do the truth of God in your life, and you are willing to do so, and you would come to these realizations, and you would start doing them because God said so. And everything that God said so could be logically understood, because all this information is hidden in reality and in the depths of the human mind. And that's the thing about truth, that you can discover it, reveal it, if it's unquestionably true, without a doubt. After examinations and all of these things, proven without a doubt, now do it. And God doesn't have to talk to you one-on-one to give you these revelations. Because no one of us is that much important or that much able to capacitate the voice of God. And it would be egoistic of you to think that you are. So that's why God created this system. That when all of you nations are tired of your daily lives, are tired of this nonsense you've been doing, are tired of being godless, are tired of being possessed and full of demons, and want to come true, come forth, be honest, be logical, be sane, be moral, and start listening to the wise people of this nation, you would have to change. But those of you who are willing to do so, again, God is hiding His powers, His glory, His magnificence. You got a billion Muslims, a billion Chinese, a billion Hindus, and the rest of you. Go follow any one of those. See where that gets you. Because they're big in numbers. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean the truth is with them, because they're big in numbers. On the contrary, God hides His power and glory and magnificence and gives it to this Jewish nation, which physically barely stands on its feet as a nation. So that all the egoistic people would say, huh, this nation, this people, this language, this Jew, this crazy guy, I'm too good for that. I'm not gonna follow that. Look at them. They barely exist. The entire world hates them. And God hates you back for it. But that's okay. Those of you who already came to the realization that you are godless, you really, you people, you have no God. You really have no God. You're running around this world with your egoistic, animalistic nature, doing whatever you please, which is whatever feels good at the present. You don't have a God. You have this urge that is your God that guides you in all your choices. You just don't realize it. You just don't notice it. You think you are free to think and act however you please. But however you please, however you want, is controlled by the evil urge. So you're not free at all. You're just following the commands of the devil at your present state. Without my influence. And when I come and tell you these things, of course you would be very much surprised, and it wouldn't suit your logic that this could be the truth. So go on, live your lives, waste your time, do whatever it is you did before, see where that gets you. Until a generation will come, and they will understand this is the truth. A generation will come when they will have everything. All the physical needs will be fulfilled with a press of a button. That's not the point. That's not the issue. That is just a vessel to enable us to live a comfortable life. Automated, robotic, freely energized, fully technological, whatever you want, at a press of a button. Okay, you got that. You are still miserable. You are still hopeless. You are still an empty vacuum. You are still not satisfied with your life. Maybe that's the generation it has to get to before you realize what I just said is the truth. Which is the same thing this religion has been saying for thousands of years. And nobody listened. Well, almost nobody. So maybe it has to come to that. Or the threat of the annihilation of humankind. So you would remember what I said and turn away from your evilness back to God. Just like I said. I'll give you an example. What's written in the book of Revelation, I call this Plan B. It doesn't have to be fulfilled and manifested this way. And those fanatical Christians that think that it must, because it's the word of God, because that's what it says, are fatalist. They believe in a bloody and cruel end for humanity. And in your that same evil urge, egoistic nature, you all are like that. Even the good little Christians. You all believe that 2/3 of the world is going to get destroyed and destructed before God can come, or before anything supernatural can happen, or before a good beginning to planet Earth can happen. You all believe in World War III. You all believe that most people would be killed either by the hands of God or by the hands of people or bombs or whatever. That's crazy. That's crazy thinking. And all of you think like that. Because that's your nature. That's what it shows you. And you don't even notice it comes from the devil. Then you go and question me, think that maybe I come from the devil. Maybe I saying these crazy things and you should stay away and keep out and watch out for my teachings. Okay, you can go ahead and do that. If you don't understand, I have good intentions. If you don't understand, God Himself organized my life in a way that I would bring about your salvation. In this manner, for your own good. But I am sure of that. Even the Jewish authorities, religious authorities, would tell you that we don't want you. We don't want to teach goys our religion. We don't ask you to join. Only if you want to join and you are ready to pass all the tests, you would join. All the other religions would welcome you right away to come and join. Come and learn. And many things to teach you. Be one of us. No problem. Easy. Only the Jewish religion, although the smallest religion, although the smallest nation, although the most desperately in need for help, says we don't need you. We can fight the entire world if we need to. Because we are the people of God, and God says He will never destroy His people. And He never will. That's a statement of faith that no people have. No other people have. So of course in your imagination you can think that, oh no, I know this and I know that and I can do this and I can do that and I don't need anything this guy has to offer because I'm smarter, I'm better, I know better than that. Again, it just means you want to go with your egoistic nature onwards and leave the truth of God behind. Well, the truth of God is the key to heaven. So, what are you leaving your afterlife behind? Are you leaving your heaven behind? Are you leaving the real God behind? You can go and imagine that there are heavens for every nation and for every religion and for every language. And there might be. Just out of mercy on you. Mercy for your pathetic state of being. As the outsiders. As the vessels that are not in the truth of God. But if you want to be truthful, and I'm sorry to be so upfront and honest, no, but the truth has to be said for your own good. And it doesn't really require you anything, it's just a free will and a free choice. If some people are or have already begun to investigate and realize if anything I'm saying has a basis in truth. At least. And those of you who are lucky enough to realize that that is the truth, you already begin to know. That the Jewish religion, which Jesus and me and Moses are a part of, is holiest and closest to God, to the real God. There are many devils and demons in disguise as religious gods or other authorities. Don't be fooled by them. You can go and say you don't believe in God, or you believe in a kind of like a atmospheric, all around, doesn't care about anybody or doesn't require anybody to do anything God. And of course you can live by that ideology and go do your nonsense, you're fooling around, whatever it is you're doing, and finish this life and see where did your spiritual state end up to be in comparison. But those of you that are honest enough to drop your ego, drop your pretense, and admit, no, really, I don't have a God in my life. I don't have God. I'm not one of the people of God. I want God. I need to come forth and drop my guard, drop my ego, drop my false pretenses, drop my false perceptions and thoughts about this nation, this language, this religion, and this God. And realize that that is the one true and only God. And you need to change to become one of His people if you are really serious about being the closest to God as possible. Most of the people don't, because you're just like cute little animals who live in a human jungle, human urban jungle, and you like your pretty little lives just the way they are. You don't want anything to change your reality perception or to enlighten you that you must or should or have to change your way of living in order to be really accepted and embraced by God as a really close, lovable person. Of course, God will forgive you and give you your simple, animated, animalistic, human, urban life. But from my experience, of course, the value of life is at the highest and most importance. But from my experience, that kind of oversimplified life, of course, we have interesting things such as gaming and the forex market and these scientific, technological advancements and inventions and the endless study of mathematics. We have all those things to do, and others, different kinds of sports and whatever all these human beings invented through the years. That is all nice and well. But that has nothing to do with God Himself. You know, I'm not saying you're a bad people. I'm saying you all have been under the control of the devil all this time to elude you. Illusion upon illusion upon illusion upon illusion to conceal the truth from you. just like the shell of an egg that exists in order for the egg to grow. But when the egg is grown, it doesn't need the shell, it comes out of the shell. So I'm talking about that generation in that time, or these special kinds of people in all these generations until then. They want to grow up evolutionary on a spiritual level and face the true religion and science of God and language and nation of God. And, you know, realize your life is empty, other words. Your small life, I'm not saying anything bad about it. It's great, it's needed, it's useful, it's healthy. We should preserve it and maintain it and keep it, and that is the basis. That is the vessel for spiritual life. But when you have that and you want to move on, move forward, realize something else, something new, and you don't know what, and your life is empty, you know, in any other way, you would at least try to make the research to find out if what I'm saying is true or not. And I have been through the same stages of you know, neglecting and ignoring, and these psychological blocks that prevent you from doing what is right because it asks of you too much of what you're not willing to do. I've been through all these stages and I did my best to pass them. So hopefully this information was useful to you. God bless you.